Will you walk with me through the darkest night when my world goes wrong? Will you make it right? Will you guide my lips in all I say? Will you walk with me every day? When I'm tired and weak, will you make me strong? When my mind's confused and all hope is gone, will you take my hand? Will you lead the way? Dear Lord, will you walk with me today? Will you walk with me and ease my pain? Will you walk with me? Give me hope once again. When my eyes grow dim, will you let me see? Dear Lord, will you walk with me? If my friends should go when there's no one there, if I call your name in my dark despair, will you come to me? Will you ease my pain? Dear Lord, will you walk with me again? Help me find the strength just to carry on. Teach me how to pray, for it's been so long since I fell on my knees and asked that you forgive all my sins. Dear Lord, please forgive. Will you walk with me and ease my pain? Will you walk with me? Give me hope once again. When my eyes grow dim, will you let me see? Dear Lord, will you walk with me? Will you walk with me through the darkest night when my world goes wrong? Will you make it right? Will you guide my lips in all I say? Will you walk with me every day? Will you walk with me and ease my pain? Will you walk with me? Give me hope once again. When my eyes grow dim, will you let me see? Dear Lord, will you walk with me? Dear Lord, will you walk with me?
We'd like to welcome you all to Cowboy Church. It's great to be amongst God's people tonight. It's great to serve a living God. I'd like to start with a little bit of scripture. I'm going to read from a section of scripture that we're going to be singing from a little later on. If you want to turn in your Bible, it's in Isaiah chapter 51. And we're going to start reading at verse 9. So Isaiah 51, 9. I'm going to be reading from the New King James. A little later on, we're going to be singing from the Old King James. And you'll notice the difference when we get to that particular verse. So Isaiah 51, and we're starting on verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you are almighty, that you reign from heaven, that you created all things and nothing is beyond you. I thank you, God, that we serve a living God. We serve a risen Savior. We have a mighty Redeemer. And I thank you so much for that, Lord. I thank you for calling out to us, Lord, to come into your fold, to be your children. I thank you, God, that you made that possible through the death of your Son on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that we have all walked a path that has brought us here tonight. And some of our paths are very different than others. And yet all of them, Lord, you have oversaw. You have looked down and you have guided us to this evening. And here we all are together, Lord. Blessed to be amongst your people tonight. Blessed to have fellowship one with another. Blessed with the freedom to have a place to come together and to worship you in safety. Blessed, Lord, to have a preacher tonight to bring your word to us. We thank you for Pastor Ken. And we thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given him for us tonight. I pray that you would bless him, that your spirit would rest upon him in a mighty way, Lord, that his words would go out and would change us tonight, would bless us, would educate us, would encourage us. I pray, Lord, that you would have your hand on everything that's said and done tonight. At the end, Lord, the fellowship that goes on, Lord. And before that, the praise and worship, Lord, the singing, Lord. Perhaps the giving, Lord. All these things we do in worship to you, Lord. We come here tonight. The fact that we're here on this beautiful night, Lord, in the heat of a summer evening, is an act of worship to you. And I pray that you would bless all this worship, that you would smile on us tonight, that we would glorify you, Lord, that we would please you tonight. I pray, Lord, for your manifest presence in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for coming out on such a beautiful night. I thought you'd all be sitting at the lake, but you are here. Fishing. If you're here for the first time, we just want to welcome you and pray that you feel at home. And there's some faces I haven't seen for a while. Tony, praise God, man. Good to see you. Always good to see you. Started a series, God Uses Ordinary People. You know, when I prepare a message, I always preach it to myself first. And if God can use me, he can use anybody. God uses ordinary people. So I'm going to step back a little bit for those of you who weren't here last week, so you kind of get into the flow of things. Last week we looked at Rahab, a prostitute, and she ended up being the great-great-grandmother of King David. Didn't start out well, but she is listed in the genealogy of Jesus. So if you would stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. If you'd stand, I think you need to stand up for a minute and to stretch your legs. See, those of you who can, so you don't nod off while I'm preaching. I've asked Brother Don to walk around. If you fall asleep, he's going to give you a tap on the shoulder. Joshua. This is where we're going to pick up. I'll step behind the speaker here. Joshua chapter 2. And this is what Rahab said. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God. Now here it is. Don't miss it. This is what Rahab said. He is God in heaven above and on earth below. That was a confession of her faith, and that put her into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So Lord, tonight I thank you for your word. What a privilege it is to open your word. And Lord, I pray in this place tonight for hungry hearts. And God, that they'd receive tonight what you'd have them receive. And Lord, I pray for myself, Lord, that anything that I need to leave unsaid, Lord, that I will. But Lord, that I would preach your word with authority and conviction. In your precious name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. And you may be seated. So we looked at Rahab last week of her journey, and so this week we're going to look at someone else that was totally unknown, really, in history until the Lord allowed him to be used. But I'm going to give you a couple examples of people that were unknown. Morris Hillman's daughter got the mumps in 1963. He took a swab sample from her throat and drove it to his laboratory in the middle of the night. He developed a vaccine against mumps that is still used today and went on to develop more than 40 other vaccines to protect us against other communicable disease. I believe the measles is, I think, the other one that he also got the vaccine for. Unknown. One more. Candy Littner's 13-year-old daughter was killed by a repeat drunk driver in 1980. She founded Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We call it MAD. MAD's efforts have resulted in tougher penalties for those who drive while impaired, resulting in a marked decrease in drunk driving cases. And many lives have been saved. Someone that was unknown. Tonight we're going to look at an unknown teenager. If you're following along tonight, I'm preaching from the New King James. And we're going to start in 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles here, or if you want on your pads, we're going to start in 1 Samuel, verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 17, sorry. Chapter 17, verse 17 starts as follows. When you found it, you can say amen. Good. I have a couple of people who found it. Awesome. Which reads as follows. Then Jesus said to his son David, take now your brothers an ephod of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. Now remember, David had 7 brothers. He was the youngest. So, I mean, having a family of 8 boys, I'm telling you, get to the table early, you don't eat. 8 boys. So he had 7 older brothers. Verse 18, and his father had said, carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare, and bring back good news of them. Verse 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elead fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. Okay, let's just back up there for a minute. Let's get a feel of what's going on here. First of all, look at David as a teenager. I see the responsibility of this young man. He didn't just leave his flock. He made sure that somebody was in charge over that flock. And I'm sure that David probably didn't have to tell by his mom to clean up his bedroom. I'd like to think he was that type of kid. Because he was responsible. And that is a gifting. That's a quality that should be found in all of us. And he didn't just say, oh, whatever, when I get back, if there's a few sheep missing, no big deal. No, he didn't. He made sure those sheep were looked after. It says so here. So when you read God's word, make sure you read all of it and understand exactly what's going on here. And for David to be going to see his brothers and see what was going on in the battle. This would have been exciting. It would be like going to Disney World. No, just kidding. But he was excited. He couldn't wait to get there and get to see his brothers. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight, shouting for the battle. Now he made sure that we read following the verse 21 here, for the Israel and the Philistines had drawn up the battle array, army against army. Verse 22, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Now, here's another quality. David did what he was told to do by his dad. He didn't just dump the cheese off and the loaves someplace and just said, I'll get back to it later. No, he did exactly what his dad told him to do. You know, did I always do exactly what my dad told me to do? No, there was times I thought I could shortcut and I knew better. Did that go well? Never. Never. You know, it seems, it's always amazing when you're a 16-year-old, you know everything. I'm sure none of you have been there. I mean, you are just all wonderful people. You just never question what your dad said. He obeyed his dad. Quality of this young man. Verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. So David is out there, and here he's seeing this guy called Goliath. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. What a deal. What a deal. What a retirement plan. And a wife thrown in the boot. Package deal. Can't get better than that. So would you go out and take on Goliath for the package deal? Come on, all you heroes. Would you do it, Tony?
I'd have to see
Goliath. You have to see Goliath first. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. In verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 27, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now verse 28, now here his older brother gets involved, Eliab. You know, it seems when you really want to do something for the Lord and you're kind of want to be the person out front. Well, it seems like somebody always wants to kick the milk stool out from underneath you. You know what I'm saying? Why is that? Why is it that there's always someone wants to bring you down to their level? When you plan on doing something for the Lord, there's always Mr. Negative in the room. We've never done it that way before. Have you heard that? When I do premarital counseling, we look at the word always. You always do that. Never, if you want to live in your marriage, use that word. I've learned that one the hard way. And I'm here standing here after 53 years and I've survived and I've used that word always too many times. It's not good. So when I tell couples in premarital, do not use that word always. And when it slips, repent right away. I love you guys. Thank you for laughing at the right time. 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Like, what's your problem, Eliab? And he said, why did you come down here with whom you have left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. So Eliab is tearing a strip off David, like basically saying, kid, go home. Go home. You brought the cheese, you brought the bread, now leave. You're just in the way here. Those of you that maybe come from a family where you were the youngest, you know you were a pain to your older brothers and sisters. Because mom would always say, make sure you look after little Johnny. Did they really? I got to share something with you. They actually have pictures of this. I survived two older brothers. They were supposed to babysit me. They have pictures. They tied me in my high chair and went and played. See, that's why I'm a little off balance today. I really am. It's my older brothers did that to me. If you call that babysitting, that's not good. So Eliab is basically saying, kid, go home. You're just in the way here. You've seen, leave. But David isn't going to be put off. So he says, verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, these people. Answered him as the first ones did. And when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now we need to look at this Philistine. What did this guy look like? So we're going to back up just a little bit. You can keep your finger on verse 31. We're just going to back up to verse 4 and have a look at what Goliath looked like. Verse 4, the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, a cubit is, from here, is 18 inches. That's one cubit. So this man actually stood 9 feet 9 inches. Now, if you want to convert that to metric, go ahead. But he was big. 9 feet 9 inches. This guy was a giant. It's interesting that they even want to really make sure we give him exactly the size and what he looked like. Verse 5, he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 126 pounds. So if you take two 50-pound flour bags, one on each arm, and throw another 26 pounds on top, that's what just his armor weight. like he was a tank on two legs. That's just what his armor weighed. And in verse 6, and he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, which is between 15 to 16 pounds. That was just the spear. And then he had the shield bearer would be carrying his shield in front of him. So, I mean, this guy was a professional soldier. He had survived Desert Storm, and here he is. He's still alive. Huge. And he's basically mocking the Israelites, saying, come on, guys. Which one of you wants to do it? Because I'm going to chew you up and spit you up. No heroes in that crowd. Every time he came out, they all went back to camp. There he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? For am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come out down to me. There were three characteristics, physical characteristics, that Goliath had. First, his size, his strength, and his intimidation. Those are the things that will come against you. Like the devil will come against you in an area where he'll intimidate you. But the devil is like a roaring lion. He will roar. He'll intimidate you. But I'll tell you today, he has no bite in the name of Jesus. He has no bite. The only way he'll get you is if you give him space. If you give him room, he will come in. And David, on the other hand, David came from a spiritual perspective. In David, first there was conviction, and then courage and confidence. Write these words down. In our own lives, first of all, you need conviction. You need courage. And you need confidence. I can do all things through who? Is there anything else to be said? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to get that down inside of you. Write it on your fridge. Write it on your wife's forehead so when you look at her, you can see it. It doesn't pay to write it on your own forehead because then you can't see it. Don't do that. If you want to be among the living, don't do that. So we continue on. Let's go back to verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lion out of the flock, or took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 35, I went after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. This teenager was something else. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. I am telling you. You know, today, this is what my message is about, but if you look at that whole area where Hamas is controlling Gaza, that is actually the area where the Philistines occupied. And Gath is still a part of that area. And it's like the Israelites are still fighting the Philistines. Like that war is still going on. But really, it's really what the battle is. It's about good and evil. That is really what the battle is about. Because every day you get up, you're going to be in a battle. In this world, you will have trials and tribulation. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. But I'll tell you, someday when I stand before Jesus and I hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it'll be worth it all. And you know what? All of us are very close to that day. Very close to that day. Tomorrow, I officiate a Chinese funeral. They contacted me and said, "We want a Christian ceremony." I'm going, I'm in. So I met with the family, and they want everything Christian. So we picked the songs, "Amazing Grace," songs like that. And then we're going to go for Chinese food after. But I am so excited. I'm just about as excited as coming here tonight, but I'm excited about an opportunity to speak to about 100 Chinese people about Jesus. What an opportunity. To tell them that Jesus loves them. And there's a way. What a privilege. Let's continue on here with David. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Paul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." The point of this message today is not about what David is going to accomplish, but it took him from being unknown. In fact, when Samuel came to pick the next king that will lead the Israelites, and why did Saul, was he removed? Because he didn't obey God. God said, "Destroy the Amalekites, every one of them." And when Saul comes to the camp, Samuel says to Saul, what do I hear? What's this bleating of sheep? Oh, Saul said, "We didn't want to kill the good stuff." Samuel says, "Today, Saul, you just lost the kingdom. Disobedience. When God speaks to you and you decide to do your own thing and you're being disobedient, and there's times you wonder why things are going on in your life the way they are, is because we've been disobedient to God. When we say it's no big deal, yes, it is a big deal to God. When God says to you, 'This is what I want you to do,' cost Saul the kingdom." And so Samuel then goes to Jesse's family and says, "Bring on the boys. We'll start with Eliab." "Wow," Samuel says, "this guy's good looking. He should be the one." "No," God said, "you don't go by the outside, you go by what's in the inside." They go all the way down through 7 boys. And Samuel says to Jesse, This it? Well, we got one more. He's kind of the runt of the litter. He's out chasing sheep. Really? Well, bring him in. God says he's the man. He's the man. That 16-year-old kid smelling a sheep, he's the man. Because God saw in David something the other boys didn't have. Conviction and courage and confidence. That's what God's looking for. Conviction. Are you convicted in your heart of what God wants you to do? Conviction. The rest of David, you have heard it many times, of what David accomplished that day. But he went from the position of unknown to eventually would be the king of Israel. Unknown. Which brings me to conclusion, one more unknown. This man was a fisherman. His name was Peter. So why don't you quickly flip to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to conclude with this. A fisherman, uneducated. He would deny Jesus 3 times. Said, I don't know the guy. Don't know him. Basically, Peter was an unknown. Just like 2 other individuals that were unknown, which you know today. Abraham Lincoln. He was raised dirt poor, illiterate. He was rebuked by a banker. Said, you'll never ever have the means to be anything. He was rebuked by voters. They said, we'll never vote for you. Employers, law school deans. This was Abraham Lincoln before he became one of the best presidents the United States has ever had. Unknown. Thomas Edison. Teachers told him that he was too dumb to learn anything. He was removed from school because he would not pay attention to his teacher. His mother, who was a teacher, taught him at home. Edison. This is how many inventions he made. Edison first was fired from his first 2 jobs, but he became known as one of the greatest inventors. He held over 1,000 patents for his inventions. Do you know what? We have a room full here tonight of people that are unknown. But God wants to use you. And you're looking at me like, do you know what? Where you'd start? This week you should say, do you know what? I'm going to find someone to invite to Cowboy. How does that work? Well, I'm going to show you how this works. This week, this church blesses a pastor with an honorarium. Thank you. So this week, I went to the credit union here in Sherwood Park, handed him this check, Cowboy Church. And the teller, I got a line up behind me, and the teller said, what's Cowboy? We're having this conversation. What's Cowboy Church? Well, I said, it's a group of people who come together that love the Lord, and we have music that isn't heard of a lot anymore, ukuleles and accordions and stuff like that, and we have great fellowship after. And that's cowboy church. And I said, some wear cowboy hats, some have big belts, some have cowboy boots, and we just come from all over. Really, she said. Where is it held? I'm going, okay, line up, just wait, we're having a conversation here. Well, I said, it's on, I think it's Fir Street. Is that Fir?
Yes.
Fir. I said, and I put a plug in for the Presbyterian Church. We meet there on Fridays at 7 o'clock. Really, she said. Well, can anybody come? No, we only let certain people in. Just people with cowboy hats. And they got to wear black. She said, you know what? I think I'd like to come. You know what? You never know. What? Maybe that teller's here tonight. I don't know. But I'm just saying, just ask someone. When you go, Friday night, you say, you know what? I go to cowboy church Friday night. You go where? Invite someone. Go from an unknown to someone knowing you. Quick shift. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Let's quickly conclude with Peter. We pick up in Acts 2, verse 37. Now, Peter is now full of the Holy Spirit, and this is what Peter says. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's preaching. Peter never went to seminary, never went to Bible college, and here he's doing the first altar call. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. In verse 41, those who gladly received his word were what? Wow. Baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Not a bad altar call. 3,000. When you read in the New Testament when individuals came to the Lord, it was they were baptized immediately after. We've kind of gone a long way from it. It's like get saved and then just kind of wait to see if it takes and maybe I'll get baptized later on. It's not supposed to be like that. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They go together. Baptism is making a public statement that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I'm leaving the old man in the tank and this is a new man coming out. That is New Testament teaching. I want to ask you two questions here tonight. The first one is, and today, the word, I don't even like using the word Christian because it cuts a swath so bad, so wide, that what is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. So I say to you tonight, if you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, do you believe this Bible in its entirety? Because if you don't, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're not. Do you know how many times I hear it these days as a preacher? Well, I don't like the Old Testament because it just has such terrible stuff in it. We don't need the Old Testament. We only need the New. That is garbage. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it says in here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus always has been, and he's in this book in its entirety from Genesis to Revelation. Man, I feel like preaching tonight. Oh, I am wound up. Settled down. Whoa. So this book, in its entirety, there is no deviation from this book. You are not a follower of Jesus Christ if you say, but I don't like this part. Sorry. Doesn't work like that. So tonight I am challenging you. If you're here and you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you haven't been baptized, you're being disobedient to what God has called. Yep. You are. I pray the conviction of the Holy Ghost hits you so hard tonight, they'll wake you up in the middle of the night. I remember the day. I appreciate my parents. I was raised in a traditional denominational home. I thank God for that. I was baptized as a child. I'm thankful for that. My parents dedicated me to the Lord. But when I made that commitment on my own to follow Jesus, there was a burning desire in my heart to stand up and make that public statement. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And there was something, Annette and I got baptized together, there was something about that. The only thing more moving was that when my first daughter was born. And I'm telling you, when you get baptized, there is such a blessing involved with that. And you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place. Don't rob yourself of that blessing. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. Like Jamie already said tonight, they're having a baptismal service on the 17th. And I pray that you'll be the first in line. Because I love baptismal services. I had the privilege of baptizing people in the Jordan River where John the Baptist baptized. What a awesome time. Standing in the river. And something was nibbling at my ankles. Go on. And I looked down and there's a school of fish. And they want the salt on your legs and they're nibbling on your legs. Woo-wee. I thought when I'd dip one of them dear ladies and bring them up, there'd be fish in their hair. What a great day that was. I baptized 14 people. It's the most exciting service you'll ever be a part of. So the team can come up now, please. Close the sun. So tonight, if you wish to speak to me about salvation or being baptized, please come to me after the service. Okay, let's receive the blessing now. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Shalom. God bless you and thank you for coming tonight.
of the Lord shall return. I come with singing, not to Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And come with singing, unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, everlasting joy shall be upon them, and everlasting joy shall be upon them.